Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back, and Mike Scarborough, owner, publisher, and recruiting analyst at TigerBait.com, joins us. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be with you.
Mike, we got a lot of hoopla, obviously, as a result of the victory against Bama. Heisman performance by Joe Burrow, playoff rankings, number one ranking in the polls. What do we do to stay focused on our next opponent, Ole Miss, which is our only away game left in the season?
No, I tell you, it's going to be difficult because it's, you know, I'm sure there's ways for the team to do it, but the fan base, that's impossible. You know, this win over Alabama has been a long time coming. It was really like breaking an 8-year fever, and
yeah, that's one great way of putting it.
No, it really, you know, I was, you know, as a guy who runs an LSU website, and I know what these losses to Alabama have done to the fan base, because it's, you know, our message boards run day and night, and it's, they've had a psychological hold on the program. And, you know, it's a coach was lost because of losses to Alabama.
Yeah.
And that's why Ed Orgeron was so emotional in the postgame. You know, there's no way that he can go a half a day out and around town, whether it's a lunch or the grocery store or walking campus, without somebody bringing up, what about Alabama? Can you beat Alabama? It's the whole ball of wax, and it's huge for recruiting. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, people were talking about the leaked live stream video in the locker room and the things that are said in recruiting behind the scenes. You know, one of the things that Nick Saban has been able to tell recruits for years, when they say, "Coach, thanks for recruiting me, but I'm going to go to LSU." Well, the thing that Saban always tells recruits to do that is, "That's okay. We're just going to beat you. We're just going to continue to beat you." And he doesn't have that anymore. So it's just everything for the LSU program, even before the season started, has been going in Ed Orgeron's direction, all the correct buttons, and it's just been a magical run. But now there's also the loom of the, you know, it's almost a similar playbook to 2011, where you had a magical season, considered one of the best teams ever in the history of LSU football, and you wonder if LSU's going to, if Alabama's going to get a second bite at the apple, and you know, could it be as similar as almost identical to 2011, where they meet again in New Orleans in the Superdome?
Yeah. Mike, I don't know about for you, but for me, it was a completely dominant first half, one of the best halves of football that I've seen LSU play in a long time, considering the competition. And I would say it was a competitive second half in that LSU ultimately had, when the chips were down and they had to make certain things happen, for the first time in a long time against Bama, they actually did it. And Joe Burrow carried a lot of that burden right on his shoulders, and he delivered.
No doubt. And, you know, that was one of the, you know, when you had 2 weeks to prepare for it, and, of course, the media had 2 weeks to talk about it, you know, one of the things that just about everybody said was keep the pedal to the metal. There's no getting a lead against Alabama with their talent, their ability to score quickly on offense, just like LSU can. If you get a lead, you want to continue to add points. And, you know, Joe Burrow, when they would cut it to a score, he'd go right down the field, march the offense, him and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and all the receivers, and get it done. And, you know, I even think back to the Patrick Queen interception at the end of the first half, and I just know what Les Miles would have done there. You know, maybe he would have kicked a field goal, tried to get in field goal range. You know, would he have been as aggressive there? You know, that right there, you know, there were so many things that were differences in the game, but that was the score margin right there. Being aggressive, going for it, let's put a dagger in them, score before the half, go up big at halftime, and then get the ball back to start the second half. That was the mindset of the LSU coaching staff, and you had to be that way, you know, to break through against Alabama. And that's part of the reason why they hired Joe Brady in the first place, and because they realize you have to score points these days.
Yeah, you know, and it was an interesting game from a stat perspective as well. Obviously, as dominant a first half as was presented by LSU, Tua, and still a little bit impaired, there was no doubt about that, 21 of 40 for 418 yards, 14 touchdowns, and one interception in the longest pass at the end of the game, an 85-yard bomb. He still put some serious numbers up on the board.
No, he's absolutely a fantastic talent. Some of the balls that he throws, even with the ankle, his accuracy is off the charts. I mean, we truly saw two of the best, if not the two very best quarterbacks in the country. And, you know, they're going to be happy to see Burrow gone and LSU fans and everybody in the Southeastern Conference is hoping that Tua doesn't pull a fast one and say he's going to come back for his senior year. Everybody's going to be glad to see him gone.
Yeah. You know, interesting stat as well. Burrow was sacked five times, and we were only able to get to Tua once, although we hit him up pretty good in the first half quite a bit.
Yeah. I didn't realize that Burrow had been sacked that much until I looked at the box score, but and there were so many times where they should have had him and they didn't have him because he moves so well. And he's just really has a great sense of when it's coming down on him and when he needs to move two steps one way or the other. And the entire football game lived up to the hype. And that's now twice that this game of the so-called game of the century and game of the century two lived up to it. And I mean, it's still all what the national media are talking about days later. So yeah. It's going to be hard for any game anywhere else in the country to top this one this year and for a while.
Let's talk about, if we could, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, typically we're talking about the Alabama running back. He had an absolutely incredible game, one in which – you know, he probably hasn't really been the recipient of a lot of the praise that I think that he's due, but he just had an all-encompassing game of the year for him.
He's a super kid. And, look, I've covered Clyde since he was a sophomore at Catholic High School in Baton Rouge. And because I, you know, focus a lot on recruiting, you know, I've been to the spring camps where – he's at combines and he's there with other running backs from the Southeast and the state of Louisiana and nationally. And, you know, Clyde was never a guy that anybody looked at because of his stature, because of his 40 time, you know, wasn't very highly rated. You knew he was a quality back and had moves, but he never, you know, was in that Leonard Fournette, Darius Geis realm of, you know, marquee running backs in the minds of a lot of people. And now you get a look of what he's capable of in the passing game as a running back, utilizing him and his talents. And he's just absolutely flourished, just like Joe Burrow and all the receivers in Joe Brady's offense. And it couldn't happen to a greater kid. And anybody that knows him or has spent any time around him is ecstatic for him.
One of the things that I didn't realize it until I looked at the box scores as well. We said that LSU had a better kicking game than Alabama, and they really did show it. Von Rosenberg did. I mean, you know, he had two punts inside the 20, four for 159, basically a 40-yard average. But he really pinned them back a couple of times, which was really nice. And then Cade York delivering the two field goals as well.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, the Auburn game was probably the worst special teams performance of the year for LSU. And, you know, we were basically saying that, you know, they cannot have a repeat of that. Certainly gave up the punt return, which, you know, was their big moment of the game, and you know, got them excited for a while. So you know, that was a blown coverage, but you know, they had obviously a muff punt. You know, receiving the punt within the 5 yard line was a mistake on their part, and that was what was astonishing to a lot of people watching Alabama and the mistakes that they made. Uncharacteristically unsound mistakes that you just don't see from Alabama over and over again. And it wasn't just the LSU game. They've kind of been that way all year long. So I'm going to be real curious when the playoff rankings come out tonight. I think we're starting, you know, the first 48 hours, it seemed like everybody was politicking that Alabama should absolutely be one of the four playoff teams. But now we're starting to get some scuttlebutt that maybe that isn't going to be the case and that Georgia might leap them. So it's going to be interesting to see tonight because it's I do think that whether Alabama is the best one-loss team or not, you got to wonder if, with the who's on that committee making the decisions, if the Bama fatigue is going to end up getting them. Going into the game, I did an extensive interview with one of the Alabama media guys that I go back years with, and he really thought that if Alabama didn't win the game, that they wouldn't make it because of Bama fatigue. And we'll see if that's how it plays out. There's a lot of dominoes to fall yet. Georgia and Auburn. Auburn has Alabama in the Iron Bowl. Minnesota can make things interesting. So the coming weeks are going to be very interesting. I know LSU fans would love for Auburn to go ahead and end any possibility of Alabama backdooring their way in the playoffs. And they've got a good chance in the Iron Bowl because it's at Auburn.
No, absolutely. The lot of talk about Heisman performance. Joe Burrow obviously did not hurt himself. In fact, I think when the chips were down in the second half, his ability to just take the ball, run it, utilize his running capability. He had 14 rushes for 96 yards, second largest rushing average on the team in this game. I thought was huge. I do believe that he probably stepped above Tua with his performance in this game.
Oh, there's no doubt. He's way out in front for the Heisman. He would really have to have some abysmal performances. I think he could have a bad football game somewhere here in the coming weeks, and if LSU wins, it wouldn't affect him. I think the trophy is his right now. But yeah, those runs that you mentioned, those were backbreakers. That's and some great play calls by Ensminger and Brady as well. You know, he's just a gamer. You know, there's been a lot said about how tough he is. You know, there's some LSU personnel in that football building that have been there for decades, some that go back to the DiNardo years and before. And I've had people tell me, since last year that Burrow is absolutely the toughest quarterback they've ever seen wear the uniform. And, I mean,
he's not easy to bring down. He broke some tackles. I don't know how he got out of them. I mean, I was like when, you know, all of a sudden he's free and he's running and he's throwing the ball down the field. And it's like, how did he break that tackle?
he's feisty. He's confident. He's tough. You know, you wonder what it is about him. Someone said maybe a lot of this was really starting to get baked into him after losing the starting job several times at Ohio State. Look, there's no doubt about it, him being a coach's son and the fact that he graduated from Ohio State in 3 years. So he's in grad school right now.
No, absolutely.
So he doesn't go to class because it's all done electronically for him.
Yep.
I mean, he operates like a pro quarterback every day with the amount of film and the work that he does.
Absolutely. Mike Scarborough, hopefully the next time we talk, we're going to be talking about a dominant win and Ole Miss. So thank you so much.
I'll be ready to go. Give me a call if you need me.
All righty. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your insight. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. Stay with us, folks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.